Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Now, the economic shockwaves of the novel coronavirus look likely to eclipse the 2003 SARS crisis as shares in China fell dramatically and analysts downgraded their forecast for the country's growth. The Shanghai Composite Index fell by 8% on Monday, the largest daily drop for more than 4 years, despite China's central bank saying over the weekend it would inject $174 billion worth of liquidity into the markets.
Well, given China's economic heft and position in the nexus of global supply chains, the new strain of coronavirus is also affecting companies from far and wide in multiple sectors. As the number of coronavirus infections in China climbed to more than 28,000, we get an update of the kind of impact this will have on the rest of the world from Fitch Solutions.
Joining us today is Darren Tay, country risk analyst there. Darren, give us scenario analysis on the downside risks to economic growth from the outbreak. If, say, the outbreak is mostly contained within China, what would that look like?
Currently, we're looking at 5.9% growth in 2020. That was before the virus reached this number of cases in China. So 5.9% in 2020. Now we think that growth could go to as low as 5.4% in 2020 in China, and that's going to have consequences for Asia as an entire region. So currently, we are seeing 4.3% growth in 2020 for the entire Asia region. And if China should slow from 5.9 to 5.4%, then our updated forecast for the Asia region would now be just 4%. So quite a lot of possible downside simply because China accounts for so much of the manufacturing supply chain in the region, and also their tourists are very important to the tourism sectors for a few countries in the region, including Thailand, Cambodia, Philippines, and even Singapore.
Well, Darren, if other countries in Asia are hit with their own community outbreaks, as has begun here in Singapore already, how quickly will economic impacts accelerate?
It will definitely exacerbate the downside that comes from just a slowing China. But I think the extent of the downside can depend from country to country, because I think a lot depends also on their ability to contain and deal with these outbreaks. So a lot depends on the strength of their medical facilities. But we think a key region that would be especially vulnerable is actually South Asia, because all three countries, Pakistan, India and Bangladesh, tend to have lower numbers of hospital beds per population, lower doctors per population. So the healthcare sectors are not nearly as equipped to deal with such a crisis. Another key vulnerability, I think, would be in Thailand, because if there was going to be a community outbreak in Thailand, in an economy where 20% depends on tourism, a lack of incoming tourists as a result of concerns over an outbreak would be especially troublesome for the Thai economy.
So other regions maybe not so well placed to weather the impacts. You talked about Thailand. Malaysia as well has seen local transmissions of this as well. How are they handling it?
Malaysia is also quite exposed to the Chinese slowdown, because they depend a lot on China for investment. So from the outset, they're already one of the more exposed countries in the region that we're seeing. And if they are going to have a community outbreak of their own, the further disruptions to the tourism sector, which while not as big and important as in Thailand, is still a significant part of the economy. And more importantly, for the entire region as a whole, if we have community outbreaks in more countries than just China, then the entire regional slowdown is going to have vicious cycle where, I mean, simply because of how interconnected Asian economies are as a whole. So a slowdown in one country can easily lead to more domino effects in other countries and so on and so forth.
Well, Singapore's a free and open economy as well is likely to be negatively affected by the outbreak of the coronavirus, which is likely to cause a further slowdown in China and the wider region, like you mentioned. How different, though, will the impact be on the other regions with economies less free and open? I mean, might this be an argument for protectionism?
If Singapore does depend on free movement of goods and capital for its economic success, so if as a result of community outbreaks elsewhere and also in Singapore, that goods are actually face increasing restrictions in terms of being able to pass borders, because so far we've only seen travel bans on people, there doesn't seem to be a good reason to suggest that bans on the movement of goods will be implemented by governments around the region. But if such a thing were to happen, then an economy like Singapore, where 170% of GDP is actually coming from exports, then downside impact is going to be quite serious.
We're talking to Darren Tay, country risk analyst at Fitch Solutions. Darren, more fiscal and monetary easing to support the Singapore economy is expected. What might that support look like?
There's going to be, in terms of fiscal measures, we expect measures to support especially the retail sector. This sector is especially supported by tourism, especially from mainland China. So in Singapore, roughly 12% of GDP depends on the tourism sector, of which 18.5% of international arrivals are actually from mainland China. So the travel ban and the travel restrictions that we have imposed on China is definitely going to impact that, and therefore the retail sector. So we expect measures to help out retailers. The other sector that we see some pain for is actually the manufacturing sector, which again is actually quite closely tied to Chinese economic conditions, because we occupy a rather important position in the supply chain leading to China, meaning that Singapore companies typically manufacture goods that all intermediate parts that are shipped to China for completion or final assembly. So if they're shutting down activity because of the virus, then that bodes ill for our sector here as well. So we also expect support measures to help out the manufacturing sector.
So Darren, can we put a dollar estimate at this point to the kind of impact that this is going to have in Singapore? I mean, SARS was reported to have cost the world economy about $40 billion.
Quite hard to put a dollar figure on any impact as of now, because it does seem like the SARS experience may not be entirely instructive this time around. One of the key differences is the region could count on a more resilient Chinese economy back in 2003, which swiftly recovered from the disruption that SARS caused. But that was because China was in a far stronger position back then, having just joined the World Trade Organization in 2001. But now we have a China that is actually facing structural issues in terms of having to rebalance the economy. And then they have this trade tensions with the U.S. So they're facing much lower growth. And the disruption from the virus is a lot harder to deal with this time around. So all indications are that we might see a greater disruption in dollar terms compared to SARS. How much that will be depends on how long it takes for the virus to be contained in China as well as in other countries. And so far, there doesn't seem to be any reliable estimates as to how long that would take. So any figure right now would just be purely speculative.
Darren, coming back home, we're seeing tourism, retail and F&B struggle already, like you said. What other sectors are in for it now?
Like I mentioned earlier, manufacturing is probably going to be in for a bit of pain, simply because of the slowdown in China, which reduces the demand for the intermediates that we supply their industries with. So if you look at the Chinese PMI, Purchasing Managers Index, which is a measure of business confidence in China, it's been coming down. And that's normally quite correlated with our non-oil domestic exports. So that coming down is a sign that the manufacturing sector might be in for a bit of pain over the coming months.
At the risk of generalizing, if China's economic output has multiplied eightfold since SARS in 2003, might we see the same increase in magnitude of this fallout?
I think that is at risk of overgeneralization, yes. But you are right. The larger economic heft does suggest that the risks from a slowdown in the Chinese economy will have a much larger impact this time around, assuming that all other conditions are the same. But even without that increase in size, as I mentioned, the speed at which the virus is spreading and its much higher number of cases compared to SARS, which only had about 8,000 cases at its peak, will also contribute to more significant economic disruption this time around. So we do see quite a lot of risk that this could be worse than SARS. How much worse that is going to be, the jury is still out on that, and we still need to look at more data as they come in.
Darren Tay, country risk analyst at Fitch Solutions, thanks for your time.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.